Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream. After a season like no other, there's just so much to unpack. We need to keep talking about it all summer long. We are Triple M Footy.
Oh, it's game on! Oh.
Thanks to Brighton's lawyers.
B-O-L-D goal!
This is Triple M's Summer Session.
And welcome to it, a show that looks at rugby league across the summer. It's thanks to Brighton's lawyers with Maroon and James Triceps Hooper. Mate, the kids are well and truly back at school and you are living the life again.
The King of Cash, Anthony Maroon. There is only one King of Cash, the Redfern Rocket. Good to see good people.
Many,
I'll tell you what, the great game of rugby league, we keep saying it, it genuinely never ever does go to sleep.
Absolutely.
How many narratives have we seen unfold, blow up, get smothered and unfurl this week? It really has. It's back in full swing, and it's great to see.
It's been an interesting week. We'll get to it all too. Israel Folau, we'll get to that very shortly. Cam McInnes, what else? Of course, Payne Haas has disgraced himself up there on the border. We'll talk more about that. So there's plenty of things to talk about, player movement as well. And look, we've only got two or three weeks. We'll be into, 3 weeks, we'll be into Charity Shield, then we'll be into All-Stars, and we'll just about jump into the season.
Yeah, well, I telephoned you during the week, Anthony, and you mentioned that you're in the timber mill, which I believe, is that your voice exercising studio? Just working on the timber in your voice, you're calling the Charity Shield. Mm. What's that, your 53rd straight Charity Shield call, is it? Or, in all seriousness, I like that, mate, when I telephoned you and you said, I'm just in the timber mill and it's next door. And it's next door to the gymnasium in the Little Bay compound.
I've got a gym at home. We call it the House of Almost Pain, as you know. And when we were young blokes in radio, they used to say, look after the timber in your voice. I don't even really know what it means, but sounds good, doesn't it?
It does sound good. So you're in the timber mill just doing a couple of red leather, yellow leathers.
Yeah. I got a little recording booth at home. Occasionally I might knock out an ad for a rural radio station like P&J's Hardware in Kalgoorlie. Or what is the other one I did the other day? Kamal's Spice Rack in Parks. You know, if somebody needs an ad, I'll just do them.
Outstanding. Mm-hmm. That's why you are cha-ching, the King of Cash.
Well, as you often say, I've got my hand in a lot of pies, only they're party pies. That's the problem. So, look, let's take a song. We'll come back and we'll talk about Israel Folau and this whole dragon scenario. We'll talk about Cam McInnes as well, because it's a show about rugby league across the summer. We call it Triple M Summer Session.
Triple M Summer Session. Thanks to Brighton's lawyers. They commit, protect and succeed.
It's a show about NRL in the summer. We call it Triple M's NRL Summer Session. Thanks to our friends at Brighton's lawyers. It's Maroon and Hoops. And we're going to talk about the Israel Folau thing now. Through the week, I couldn't sleep. If I can't sleep, I watch an A-League game. That normally shortens me up. There was no A-League on, so I started reading a few of your articles, Hoops. And I saw that one about the Israel Folau. The whole Dragons thing, the Dragons wanted him. Mm. And then because of the outrage from members, they pulled the pin on it pretty quickly.
Yeah, they did the backflip, the triple pike and the pirouette. Damn fast. Look, the whole thing, like, it's such a polarizing, divisive debate. And I think it's really important that we have this conversation, Anthony. And a lot of the time people will shy away from having robust discussions. But if we don't have them, then it's no good just trying to sweep difficult issues, in my view anyway, under the rug. I've said previously on this program, I think rugby league is the most inclusive sport on the planet. Rugby league has never cared about where you come from, whether you're gay, straight, bi, whatever. That isn't an issue in the great game. And that's one of the things that I must say, I think a lot of supporters of the game love about it. In relation to Israel, the Dragons decided that they did want to have a crack at it. The common thread was a bloke who's well known around rugby league. He's an advisor these days, Wayne Beavis. He's got years of experience. His nickname's Wayne Wally Beaver. He's a very funny and entertaining character, a bit of a raconteur, was heavily involved in the Super League war. He worked closely hand in glove with Phil Gould from an ARL point of view in terms of trying to retain players on that side of the fence while that war was going on. But he advises Israel, and he is also the manager of Anthony Griffin, the St. George Illawarra coach. So that's how it all came about. Before Christmas, Israel was back in Australia. His wife's mother has fallen ill. Israel and his wife decided that they didn't want to go back to Catalans overseas, the Catalan Dragons, based over in France, playing the UK Super League. And as a result of that, conversations began taking place about, would it be possible for Israel to remain here and play in the NRL?
All right. Can I play you some audio? This, I think, sums up how everybody felt about the whole thing. This is MG, Triple M's MG, and what he had to say about it through the week.
To whoever is in charge at Dragons, your fans need answers. Your fans need a face to tell them what the hell is bloody going on. I mean, come on. You can't. Someone's got to be accountable. Someone has got to be accountable for this train wreck that just we saw in the last 48 hours. It kind of took us all by surprise, got us all involved, made us all have an opinion, and then a two-line statement to say, you know what, we've stopped our chase of Israel. Come on, man. That's bullshit. This whole saga hasn't been fair to the fans, to the current players, and mostly to the coaching staff. They need answers.
Yeah, that's the great Mark Geyer, what Triple M's very own. But see, he makes the point in that well, with the Dragons, okay, they could see very quickly that this wasn't going to please anyone. And so to their credit, they put it to bed very quickly.
Yeah, firstly, well said by the Wild Panther MG there. I wasn't sure initially if it was MG or Jeff Toovey when he started saying that somebody needed to be held accountable. But on a serious note, Anthony, look, yeah, they did put it to bed quickly, but that doesn't excuse what a basket case they are at the moment in terms of how they've handled this. Mm. Like, to give the coach the green light to go and chase a bloke that you know is going to absolutely be front page, back page, polarise headlines, polarise opinion, create this very delicate, hard to have conversation and debate, which really does get people emotional and get people passionate, and rightly so and understandably so. But to think that by entertaining possibly bringing Israel Folau back, the hate speech that's associated with him, the fact that he has never been prepared to acknowledge that he is sorry that he actually put those posts up there on social media at the first place. Now, we should point out, Anthony, I can't speak for yourself, but I think we're good enough mates. Neither of us agree with any of the jibber-jabber.
I've got no respect
that he goes on with. That list, I reckon I'd tick probably half a dozen boxes out of seven or eight things that he had on his list.
Yeah.
But I'm old enough and ugly enough that I can laugh it off and see it for what it is. But there are people in the community who are young and who are easily influenced and who are struggling with issues like sexuality. They find it very confronting and challenging. And I can understand that, and I have empathy absolutely for them. But I also do believe that rugby league is a great game in terms of its inclusiveness and in terms of giving people a second shot. So I think if the Dragons had decided to go through the whole painstaking process of submitting all the paperwork and putting an application together, I think they would have had probably about a 50-50 chance of getting it across the line. And there are other clubs, as we speak at the moment, who are entertaining. Well, do we have a look at this bloke?
This is the thing, though, about this hypocrite Israel Folau, and we completely don't agree. I don't want to see him back in the NRL. I think 2021's got to be the year for me. If I don't respect someone, I'm going to say it. And this bloke, he wants to talk about everyone else's sexuality, what everyone else wants to do with their life. He didn't mind leaving Le Catalan on good faith that he was coming back. And then when he got here, he tried to sort out a deal with the Dragon so he didn't have to go back. Now, there's something a little bit dishonest about that, Hoops.
It's about time you got off the fence, because we've been calling you splinters for years. And further to that, and somebody pointed this out to me after, you know, I wrote a pretty strong column for Fox based on the fact that, you know, I do believe rugby league is an extremely inclusive game. And based on that, and based on that, one of the premises of a democratic society is freedom of speech, I do believe that Israel does have the right, with the right conditions and with the right acknowledgements from himself, he shouldn't have a red pen put through him forever. But to your point, Anthony, this bloke's a mercenary who shat on the game and went and took the money to play a rival code AFL years ago because he was driven by money, right? When that went pear-shaped, He tried to come back. We wouldn't let him. So he went and played rugby union, right? He couldn't. Remember, he was nearly on a deal to go to the Parramatta Eels when Ricky Stewart was the coach.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, the NRL put red tape and protocols around it. And he couldn't quite get through the necessary paperwork to make it. So he goes and joins the Wallabies and the Waratahs. And he has a very prosperous rugby union career. Like, he was the best rugby union player this country had produced for some time. But then he goes and wades into this whole social media political firestorm, shitstorm is probably a better way of describing it, and then refuses to say sorry. So I'm with you, Maroon, based on the fact that he's such a mercenary. Like, everywhere he's gone, he's disrespected AFL. He's disrespected rugby union. He's disrespected now the Catalans Dragons. They're not great character traits.
Nah.
So as much as this bloke can play football, and as much as he's got some crazy religious ideology that I actually feel sorry that he genuinely believes in that element of detail in life. It's just, it opens up such a can of worms. And I think sanity has prevailed by the Dragons backing out of it. Having said that, the Dragons are so weak for the way that they've handled it.
Yeah.
To have a board meeting, give the coach the green light, tell everybody, yeah, no problems, no, we're ready for the firestorm. They went to their sponsors. They spoke to St. George Bank. They spoke to other sponsors affiliated with the Red V Club. And then they still, when it hits the headlines and becomes a firestorm in the media, oh, no, okay, hang on a minute. No, hit quick, where's reverse?
Yeah.
They were like you when they used to come after you out of the line playing for the Waterloo Waratahs.
Well, hopefully that's the last we hear about Israel Folau. Israel, disappear up your own orifice, I say. Go and play for the Catalans. I've got no time, no respect for you. You worry about what you do right and wrong. But still on the Dragons, now Cam McInnes through the week signed with the Sharks. Am I right he's going to see the year out at the Dragons?
This is a massive story. This story would have been back page for the entire week had the Dragons not decided to somehow get themselves embroiled in the Israel scenario. Yes, as it sits at the moment, Anthony, I think that Cam McInnes will be at the Red V this season. Don't forget, Jack DeBellin's court case is still to play out. That's back in court in April. If Jack gets off, perhaps they might review it, but that's a big, big if. There's so many asterisks attached to that, it's not funny. So as a result, at this point in time, the Dragons have told Cam McInnes no, he won't be going. The West Tigers even went as far with Cameron McInnes of inquiring, would the Dragons release him for this season because they would take him and then they would give him a contract extension beyond that. And the Dragons said no, they weren't prepared to go down that road. The Dragons are still chasing Andrew McCulloch, which I must say I find strange.
But that looks like it's going to happen.
Well, I think the Dragons have slapped a deadline on the Broncos for an answer. I wouldn't say it is a fait accompli. I think it should happen, but it's by no means over the line. And the fact that the negotiations have dragged out for so long, and both clubs are playing hardball. The Dragons are saying, no, we're not chipping in. Like, we're giving him a contract for the rest of this season, and then we're giving him another 12 months next year, which you're not prepared to do. And the Broncos are saying, well, we've got him on contract anyway. And why should we do you a favour and throw... The Dragons want the Broncos to throw money in.
Yeah.
And the Broncos are holding firm and saying no. I find the whole thing bizarre, the fact that the Dragons are after Andrew McCulloch, the fact that they don't want Cameron McInnes to be their first choice number nine, the fact that McInnes has now signed with their arch rivals, Cronulla, on a four-year deal where he's going to play lock, we should point out. And he'll also obviously provide tremendous backup for the young gun, Blake Brayley. Like, we saw Blake get injured, I think it was in the finals last year, and he had to spend some time over the summer recovering. He's a young player, a terrific player, like massive potential, and I think the sky is the limit with him. But what a backup to have Cameron McInnes playing lock, and then if anything does happen to Blake in terms of injuries or suspension, well, boom, you got a ready-made deputy number nine.
All right. Well, hopefully things will get better for the Dragons fans as the year goes on. But certainly this Israel Folau thing, at best Hoops, it looked desperate. It looked like the season's going to start in a month. We really need something out wide. Let's just, we know that this is probably going to put people off, but let's get him.
It was a bit like you and I back in the blue light disco days with buck teeth and braces.
Yeah.
No, it did. It did. It smacked
and pimples.
It smacked of Desperation is the operative word. Anthony Griffin's gone in there at St. George Illawarra, and of course he wants to put his own stamp on things. And he's been given a mandate. If you need to shake the roster up, shake the roster up. Do what needs to be done. We finished 12th last year. We finished 15th the year before. Clearly, what they were doing wasn't working. But some of the decisions so far that they've decided to go down, it does leave you shaking your head.
Well, hopefully, Dragons fans, it gets better for you this year. And look, we've got plenty to talk about. What does the Fox say? That's James Hooper talking about player movement and mail in and around the game. We'll do that shortly. Our first club in focus will be the Roosters, who finished fourth last season. And yes, Hoops.
Is Maroon Confidential coming back again this week?
Maroon Confidential has stretched the boundaries as far north as Port Macquarie. Big mail coming in from the Settlers Hotel in Port Macquarie.
Is there?
Absolutely.
That's just a little teaser,
just
is
a little
it?
Teaser.
Wow, the Settlers Inn. That's Flowery's Pub.
Might have involved a karaoke machine.
Oh.
A couple of jugs of beer.
Yes.
And a chicken schnitzel with chips.
Now we're talking.
That's all coming up in Maroon Confidential. It's Triple M Summer Session.
Triple M Summer Session. Thanks to Brighton's lawyers. They commit, protect and succeed.
Triple M's Summer Session, a show about rugby league right across the summer, thanks to Brighton's lawyers, where they commit, protect and
succeed.
Giddy up. It's time for this.
On Triple M Summer Session, this is What Does the
Fox Say? Ah, yeah. The Silver Fox. The Bold Fox. The great man, James Triceps Hooper, what mail have you got today? Can I start off with, this is something that interests me, is this Brisbane expansion team and who will get the license. But beyond this year at the Rabbitohs, Wayne Bennett will probably, or would I think, like to have some involvement with this new expansion team.
Look, I'm sure that they would love to have Wayne
as a coach,
as the figurehead of their organisation, whichever Brisbane bid ultimately wins the licence, Maroon. But look, I spoke to Wayne during the week about this, because obviously it was big news that the Brisbane Bombers and the Ipswich Jets have formed a joint venture. It's a $14 million joint venture, and they're cashed up, and they've got a blueprint that at the moment is just stamped with success all over it. So look, we won't see a new side, a 17th team introduced until 2023 at the earliest. I think it will be introduced in 2023. But what a bloke to have headed up. So I rang Wayne. I said, this is all over the headlines again. He went, oh, here we go. What? And I said, well, you're being linked to this new Brisbane Jets superpower side up north. And he said, oh yeah, well, as usual, I'll be coaching 15 sides next year for the next 6 months. But he said, no, in all seriousness, at the moment, my priority, and I owe it to South Sydney, my priority and my focus is totally on Souths. That's why he decided that he was going to step away from State of Origin this year. He could have, if he'd wanted to, after the success of last year, coaching that side that some people labelled the worst Queensland team in 40 years. To Origin victory. He could have absolutely stayed on in that arena. But I think at his age, he's 71 now, Wayne. But I'll tell you what, he's 71 going on 21 in a lot of respects. He's still as sharp as a whip and very, very funny company if you want to have a bit of banter and whatnot with him. And so Wayne really wants to put his heart and soul, if he can win another competition at Souths. Like, he's already got an incredible legacy as it is. But if he takes Souths to another premiership, it really does. He will be the greatest coach that we've ever seen in rugby league.
What about this talk, though? You say 2023 is the likely starting point. That's not far away if you've still got to name the franchise that gets the license, A, B, then put the roster together. I ask the question, when you say Wayne Bennett will lead it up, are we talking about as head coach or as a coaching, somebody overseeing the coaching, overseeing the franchise? What's his role?
Well, it's a great question, Maroon, because, this time last year, Wayne started to get linked with, a possible return to the Broncos in like a coaching coordinator, coaching director style of a role. And South Sydney's counter to that was, well, we'd love him here as well. In fact, we'll happily have him as a coaching coordinator, mentor, whatever you want to call it, and conversations that I've had with Blake Solly, the CEO at Souths, that's still open-ended. Like if Wayne did turn around and say, look, I'm loving my time at Redfern, and if there's a role and you want me to remain involved, I've got no question that the Bunnies would roll out the red carpet and make it work. What sort of role would he play with the new franchise? All the talks that I've had with him so far, I still get the impression that he still wants to coach. He loves, like, that's what he does. Mm. That's what he lives and breathes for. That's what gets him out of bed in the morning. And I think that he still feels as though he can make a contribution. And based on results,
yeah,
what he's done since he arrived at South Sydney, what he did with the Queensland Origin. State of Origin side last season, you can't argue, Anthony.
No, I think you're right, mate. And if you can coach a first grade side at 71, you can surely do it at 73. What about this young kid from the Broncos that's now landed at the Dogs? Is he a back rower?
Yeah, look, he's a back rower. It's not a done deal yet, Anthony. We should point that out. But he's down here over the course of this weekend. Now, this young bloke is an Australian schoolboy. He's been in the Brisbane Broncos system for a number of years, Queensland under-18s. Brendan Piacora is his name, and he's going to be a special talent. He's a left-edge back rower, big and rangy, powerful. He had 9 NRL clubs chasing him, 9 at the back end of last year. And it's all the big ones. It's the Roosters, it's the gun teams that were trying to get a hold of him. But for whatever reason, he's met with Trent Barrett, and Baz has been able to strike up a really good rapport with this young bloke. And I think that the Bulldogs, if he does leave the Broncos have made him an offer for next year and for 2023. It's about $250,000 a season. I think if he does leave there, in all likelihood, he may well land at Belmore. And if he does, look out, because they are really starting to hum now. Like, they are really starting to build nicely.
And of those 9 clubs that were chasing him, one of them wasn't the Dragons. They were busy offloading Cam McInnes so they could get Israel Folau.
No, that's not fair. I think the Dragons were. I know they were. They were one of the 9.
Now, Newcastle Knights fans, a little bit of bad news Kalyn Ponga.
Yeah, there's been a lot of questions about, because he had to have off-season shoulder surgery, Kalyn, and when are we going to see him? And it's interesting, their coach has been very guarded, very careful in public with not putting a time frame. I'm not going to put any sort of date or round or whatever on it. But speaking of people up in Newcastle over the last couple of weeks, I don't think we'll see Kalyn before round 6. And that's probably at the absolute earliest. Another blow for them up there just over the course of the last week is that they got this young Pommy fullback, Bailey Hodgson's his name. Mm-hmm. He's the nephew of the Canberra Raiders captain, Josh Hodgson. Going to be a really good player. He's only a teenager at the moment, only a young bloke, but they got him over from the UK Super League. He was in the Castleford Tigers system, and they got high hopes for this young bloke. He's a fullback as well, but he hurt his patella, which was a pre-existing injury that he had over in England. He's injured that in the preseason with the Knights again here, so he's just going to have a little freshen up at the moment. No doubt he'll be back later in the year, and he's a name to keep the ears pricked for in years to come, because I know that the Newcastle Knights think very highly of him as well.
Well, mate, I'd just like to give you some advice personally.
Yes.
You've come out of the blocks today. You've come off the back fence, and you've covered off on Israel Folau, Cam McInnes. What does the Fox say has been an absolute bag of mixed lollies? Mm. Let me just say this to you, mate. This is a marathon, not a sprint, right? This is the Bathurst 1000, not 5 laps around Amaru. So just pace it a little bit, okay?
You reckon I've gone out like the Golden Slipper, and I won't be able to go anywhere past the clock tower in the Melbourne Cup.
That's what I'm thinking, mate.
You know what I'm looking forward to? This has been exciting me all week, because social media feedback's been immense. The switchboard's lit up. I know Daphne downstairs was flat out, plugging in and plugging out with all of the phone calls about Maroon Confidential.
Yeah.
It has gone bunter. Mm. It's gone gangbusters.
Now, if you're listening, Brian with a Y Fletcher, don't steal this idea for your own show.
There's probably an argument that you've tea-leafed it off Brian from when the Fox shows were on last year, and he started doing What's the Fuss?
No. Brian with a Y, my man at Brighton's, will be in touch with you. Triple M, let's take a break.
Triple M Summer Session. Thanks to Brighton's lawyers. They commit, protect and succeed.
Triple M's NRL Summer Session. It's time to take a look at the Roosters and how they're looking in 2021, who they've got, who they haven't got, who's left, who's come. And starting off with their gains, well, no real significant standout names. Obviously, Joseph Suaalii is there. Adam Kieran has arrived from the New Zealand Warriors. But in terms of losses, well, Mitch Orbison's retired. What a legend he was. Puasa Faumasili's gone to the Dragons. Kyle Flanagan to the Dogs. Ryan Hall back in the UK. And Sonny Bill Williams, of course, his short stint there is over. Hoops, how do you see the Roosters this year?
Oh, look, the Chooks are a benchmark side, so no question they'll give a very honest account of themselves. I know they haven't got any big-name recruits with the exception of Joseph Suaalii, who at this stage is only 17 years of age and untested in the NRL. By all reports, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when he's going to become the next big thing. But aside from that, they don't have any other big-name recruits that they're bringing into the club. Offsetting that is the fact that Victor Radley and Sam Verrills missed a huge portion of the 2020 season because they both did ACL injuries, but they are both going to be back. We spoke to Victor last week. He's one of the great characters of the game. He's put more size on from all reports. I'm expecting big things from Victor when he does get back on the field for the Chooks this season. Similar for Sammy Verrills. I think we'll see him ultimately usurp Jake Friend most likely as the starting hooker for the Chooks. I don't think that'll happen immediately, but that will really speed up the Roosters out of dummy half when they've got the football. And look, I think they're still absolutely a finals contention side. The one thing I think a lot of people are saying about the Chooks, though, Maroon, is it's a side like Mitch Orbison retired and Sonny Bill only came back for a quick cameo, but it is a side that's starting to get a little bit older now. So when you've got your Jakey Friends, champion player, Jared Weaver-Hargraves, champion player, Boyd Cordner not going to feature for the opening 3 months of the season, the Morris brothers, champion players, but getting older. And I also think in terms of their key position players, Luke Keary will be the halfback. He'll be the primary conductor. He'll steer the side. But there's still a lot of question marks about who will. I think Lachie Lamb will get first crack at partnering Luke. And then they've got this young gun, Sam Walker, coming through. But it's not the premiership-looking side that it was when they went back-to-back and they had Cooper Cronk at the helm and James Tedesco at the absolute peak of his powers. So, look, I still absolutely expect them to be amongst the top sides, but the knock on them is that, you know, they need to start some transition in terms of the next generation of players coming through. And I think that's why they went so hard after Joseph Suaalii, and that's why they've brought him into the roster.
They are a side that take advantage of their premiership window, don't they? They won those back-to-back premierships. They are in there up to their bootlaces this year. Only some injuries probably helped them to sort of fade away.
Yep.
But we saw a couple of years ago, probably more than a couple of years ago, where probably 5-6 years ago, where the Roosters might dip a year or two while they rebuild, but then all of a sudden bang, they're back again. And maybe they're into that phase.
No, I disagree in terms of, you're right, they did dip, and there were a lot of circumstances surrounding that. If you remember, there was that whole Mitchell Pearce fiasco that saw Junior suspended for the opening couple of weeks of the comp, and I think they only just avoided the spoon that year, finished 15th, and then bounced right back and made a couple of grand final qualifiers in preliminary finals. But I think the Roosters now, that Trent Robinson's a more experienced head coach, he's got 3 premierships under his belt. He was still very much finding his way, but he was very much still wide-eyed and learning on the run at that stage of his career. Now I feel as though he's got a far stronger grip and handle on what it takes, who he needs on his roster, how, if he isn't happy with whatever the scenario is, he can very quickly change the cards up and get things headed back in the right direction. So I don't think that they will have another one of those dips where they miss the finals and, you know, it sort of takes them 12, 18 months to rebuild. I think the Roosters are now set up as one of those Melbourne Storm style of benchmark organisations where they just expect success. They demand it. They live it every day. And I still think that they will absolutely be amongst the best sides this year.
And Trent Robinson's been such an outstanding success as an NRL coach. I think he win a premiership in his first year at the Roosters?
Yeah,
I think he
2013 did. Yes.
And so I wonder what that means moving forward, because he's probably the type of bloke that you get the feeling he'll only ever coach the Roosters. Where does that leave a bloke like Craig Fitzgibbon?
Yeah, it's a good question. We've heard the Sydney Roosters kingpin, the chairman Nick Politis, say that he wants Trent Robinson to be like Sir Alex Ferguson, if he so desires, and have that style of an influence that Sir Alex Ferguson was able to have at Manchester United in the English Premier League. Where does that leave Craig Fitzgibbon? Well, Fitzy's got a big decision to make. So he's a very loyal person. He came out last year and clarified because he was linked to the vacant New Zealand Warriors job, and he was beginning to be linked to lots of other vacant head coaching positions. We saw five coaches sacked in the NRL last year. And Fitzy came out and clarified that he is signed with the Sydney Roosters until the end of this year, and he is absolutely going to honour that contract. Now, rolling forward, he's got a big call to make. If Fitzy wants to be a head coach and he wants that intense pressure and he wants to be holding his hand over the flame and looking the furnace in the eye every day that he's NRL head coaching, well, absolutely, he'll get an opportunity.
Yeah.
He'll have clubs queuing up to try and sign him.
Fitzy's,
but he's got to decide if he wants that additional pressure in his life or if he's happy having all the rest of it being a number two as an assistant coach.
Fitzy and his old man Hoops, both rugby league royalty.
Champions.
Great servants of the game.
Yep. Well, his old man Alan, and I'm glad you brought him up because he was Jack Gibson's right-hand man for many years and took over from Jack at the Cronulla Sharks. And there's obviously been a lot of speculation around already in relation to John Morris's future at Cronulla. I don't think it's fair. He's only in his third season there. He's had him in the finals twice. Okay, they didn't beat a top eight side last year, but he's still done a damn good job considering all the curveballs and other bits and pieces that he's had thrown at him. So, but the reality is it's professional sport and clubs will always be looking to be number one. Mm. And so as a result, Craig Fitzgibbon's name has been mentioned at Cronulla, and you can see the synergy. It's an easy sell to the Cronulla supporters because of his family history with the club. Even though Fitzy didn't play for Cronulla himself, it would be a very easy sell given his old man's history with Jack and given the fact that he also had considerable success when he was the head coach at Cronulla as well. So Fitzy's got a big call to make. You know, he can continue to be an assistant under Trent Robinson and be involved in the game at the coalface day after day without that horrendous additional pressure that goes with being a head coach, or, you know, a lot of people want that buzz. They want that challenge.
Yeah, well, that Cronulla job might, if it comes up, I think you're right about Bomber Morris too. I think he deserves more respect. But if that Sharks job comes up, it's perfect for someone like Fitzy. I think he lives in the north end of Wollongong, Austinmere or Otford. Bang, he's up the F6 and he's coaching the Sharkies. Apart from that, though, now, Boyd Cordner, he's going to be out, as you reported, for the first 12 weeks of the competition.
Yeah.
And perfect scenario if you're a Roosters fan. He comes back, he's good as gold, and he plays him back into the top four. But, you know, do you worry about the future of Boyd Cordner?
No, I don't. I think the Roosters know the style of professional organisation that they are, and also the New South Wales Rugby League as well, because you've got to remember that Boyd suffered his last concussion playing State of Origin for New South Wales as the captain of the state. I do think that we need to protect Boyd from himself because he's such a warrior and he's so fearless that self-preservation has never been something that he's ever considered when he's playing the game of rugby league. He only knows one way to play, and that is lion-hearted. And I do think that you do have to at times protect those players from themselves. Well, that's what the Roosters are doing. Well, that's what they're doing here. He's going to have 12 weeks off. The Roosters have gone and sought all the necessary best medical advice and guidance. They've then put in a submission to the NRL, and other clubs are blowing up and screaming blue murder that, hang on a minute, the Roosters, how do the Roosters get a $350,000 salary cap concession? Well, it's simple. It's in the rules. It's allowed, and it will be rubber stamped, and it will happen because he sustained his last concussion playing for the New South Wales Blues. The amount of money is still to be determined, whether they get the full amount. But the Roosters have decided as a club that they are going to allow Boyd all the time that he needs, and they're going to take a real, for obvious reasons, paramount safety first approach. His health comes first.
Yeah.
So they won't rush him back. But provided that the doctors say that it's okay and all the medical advice says that Boyd is good to go. My understanding is, and I've had a bit to do with Boyd over the course of his career, the type of person that Boyd Cordner is, I don't think he'll want to walk away from the game.
But you...
I think he'll still want to have another crack. He won't want to go out the way that things panned out last year.
You hit your head a couple of times in Sugar Reef in the 90s, and you never really recovered, did you? Because nobody cared.
No, I think a lot of people reckon it knocked some sense into me.
So if you're the Roosters and you've got that money in the kitty.
You still got that mesh vest that I you still used to wear at Sugar Reef.
It doesn't fit anymore.
The sequin one.
Yeah, it doesn't fit anymore. And it irritates my nipple area. But if I can ask you about this, just so I can get this back on track. If you're the Roosters hierarchy, you're sitting down at a table now, we get this 350. Where are we looking? What are we going to do with this 350?
Yeah, damn good question. Look, you'd be thinking Boyd's a back rower. So they'd be crunching the numbers. They'd be looking at the money ball salary cap style of scenario that all clubs use these days. And they'd be saying, okay, well, what area, what positions do we need to strengthen in terms of the roster with a view to trying to win a competition? I don't know. In terms of the Roosters roster, I'm not sure exactly where that is at this point in time. But if they want a like for like, well, Boyd's a back rower. Otherwise, you know, perhaps they try and target a different position where they think they might need a little bit of strengthening up.
Okay. Look, we're going to take a break. This is the Triple M NRL summer session for our mates at Bryden's Lawyers. When we return, we'll just lighten things up a little bit, have a little fun with the thing called I Call BS here at Triple M.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.